Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. Switching things up a little bit from a Thursday night to a Friday night, but you know what? The drill is still the drill. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete in the world, for real, if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle that what, Kalen?
Drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream.
You know it. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. I am Desiree Fletcher, and he is Kalen Patterson, and we are P4P Real Talk. Hey. So hope you guys have been having a fantastic week. I know that I am happy it's Friday and looking forward to the weekend. Kalen, how has your week been treating you?
Oh, it's a lot of ups and downs, but in the prep system and everything else, you kind of get used to the crazy that is life and everything it throws at you.
And there you go. God is still good, and here we are. So
Amen. If
you guys missed our show on Tuesday, then you missed a pretty fun show all about roller derby, the sport, the ups and downs of it, where it's going in the future. And the Naughty Box. And if you, too, want to know what the Naughty Box is, then check out P4P Real Talk Archive. Download that show along with any of our other shows that we have and take a listen. And if you were listening last Tuesday, then you also know that Kalen had a goal for tonight's show. And I am happy to report that he was successful in reaching that goal. Kalen, why don't you tell us a little bit about our guests we have for tonight?
Well, there were two people that just have been pairing up, actually three, two males and one female that I was been keeping post on simply because they're so well known in the Midwest. One was Melissa Johnson, two was Marshall Johnson, no relation, and three was Phil Ricardo Jr. And this guy is just like my, before I knew anything about anything, his name was popping up on the radar in everything. And it started with the social media, just a comment. Somebody had told, and Phil knows who I'm talking about, this young man named Ryan Doris. He had been compared to Phil, Raythan Rico. And Ryan was so humble with his response. Like, you don't understand the muscle maturity on this man. I don't even pale in comparison. You know, I appreciate the compliment, but I cannot take it because this guy is just head and shoulders above me. And I was just blown away. And I'd seen Ryan up close and at different shows locally. And just for him to say, you know, man, this guy is so far ahead of me, I got to see what this guy looks like. And when I did, I was like, Ryan, you got a point. You know, you're spot on with that one because, my goodness, you know, Rico's legs are just they're just up there like nobody's business. And then the rest of the symmetry just kind of runs with it. So it was something where he became like a goal to meet and chat with, and to realize he was down to earth, so humble and so appreciative of just being able to compete at the top of the line. You know, that just kind of blew me away. Like, you know, most people would have something that, you know, like some little spiel they have for every time they meet and greet someone. And this guy's giving me original answers and statements, and I've been chasing after him ever since because he's always such a joy, and his family is such a pleasure to be around, and I just love him. I'll just be honest. And I said, I want to talk to him because he did something that blew, just, you know, like, local shows are nice, and I'm learning about the world shows now where you're bringing natural competitors from around the world. You're talking to people like Justin Figuera, Michael Waddington, Mark, I can't remember his name, Addis, Marco Addis. You're talking about guys that are international, and Rico went to a place overseas, and he won that. And I said, I got to talk to him about that because, you know, that's something that's new on my radar, so I'm sure it's a new on a lot of our listeners' radar as well, where, you know, it's not just natural bodybuilding isn't just stateside. It's worldwide. And, you know, this man went over there and he won it. I'll let him see the rest. But Des, that's what I. I probably went on too long.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right. Well, Philip, it sounds like Kaylin is turning the floor over to you. Why don't you give us a little bit more background about who you are and say hello to our listeners?
Well, thanks for the introduction, Kaylin and Desiree. Really appreciate being on the show again. And, you know, obviously when you're on the show, that means usually something good's happening. So it's been a great past weekend for me. I'm coming back from Budapest, Hungary, competing in the IMBA, PMBA World Championships, just like Kaylin was talking about. And I guess introduction to me is I've been competing as a bodybuilder since I was 21. I'm turning 45 next month, so it's a long time of competing, and never thought I'd be in the position that I'm at right now, you know, doing these major world championship shows and being successful at them. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, and I'm a family man. I'm happy to be back home with my family and, you know, looking forward to Father's Day this weekend. But I guess the job isn't done. You know, there's always things going on just in the sport of natural bodybuilding, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
So Budapest. Experienced
yes,
a little
Budapest.
Bit of jet lag there, but my gosh, Budapest. I mean, what was that show like?
Yeah, I mean, it's unreal, you know, when you actually go and you see competitors from a whole new, you know, way across the pond, as you would say, you know, it's a whole new arena. You've got the language barrier, you've got different venues, you've got different athletes that no one's seen here before. So it's a big deal, you know, and, you know, I promote for the IMBA, PMBA. We have the Legends Classics, which will be coming up July 30th. And the reason why I love promoting, and I love, you know, all natural bodybuilders, all the organizations. So I always judge or show up at all the shows that I can. But like I said, I promote the IMBA, PMBA because of the fact that they have that international feel where, you know, if you're competing in a world championship show, you want to see not just the best in the States, but the best in the world. So when I went to Budapest this past weekend, it was just, you know, not just even the pro division, you know, I'm a pro, but the amateur guys are just like, wow, you know, it's just, you got Germany, you got Croatia, Slovakia, Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, China, Africa. It's just unreal how many athletes that you'll see from all over the place. And the really humbling thing to me was that people just knew me too. So I was playing most of the time while we were there and just talking with a lot of the people that I've never met before. Maybe I got them as my Facebook friends or whatever, and sitting down just having a great talk with them and listening to some of the plans that they have and their aspirations. And also, you know, when you go to some of these countries, we're here in America, we have so many things positive going on. You know, even if you're, you know, lower class, middle class, you're still rich compared to some of the athletes from these other countries that, you know, don't have anything. Yeah. And so when you talk to those guys, it's just really humbling when they say, like, I work out here in this, you know, little shack here, and, you know, the supplements and food they have to eat, but they're still coming out with these phenomenal physiques. So it was a crazy experience.
I bet. And it sounds like that Team USA did very well at the show. Did you perform the way that you wanted to perform?
Coming out there for Team USA, it was a big deal because we came out, you know, I give a shout out to all those guys. You know, our captain was Mr. David Pat, who did mixed pairs as well as the pro division. He's also a pro bodybuilder. Him and Ariana, they both got third. They took the bronze medal for mixed pairs. So, you know, big congrats to them. I just give a shout out to everybody. Anna Cardenas, she's a first time competing in the world championship arena, you know, so it's a big experience for her. But we had our gold medalists, and we had our repeat gold medalist, Chrissy Draub, who took the bikini overall, bikini divas overall, and she looks fabulous. She did the Natural Olympia, and she was a Natural Olympia champion. She actually won also the world championships in Dubai last year, so for her to repeat, that's a big deal. So she came out there and did work. who was it, John Sui, he won the men's physique, and that guy just came out with a ridiculous physique. He's almost borderline bodybuilder. He's got that great look. We call him the Asian Clark Kent, you know, Superman, because he just has that look to him. And he came out there and took care of business and getting his gold medal. It's the first time that he has a world championship under his belt, so proud of him. Brandon Lirio, he did the amateur division. He was fantastic. He, you know, went up against probably the toughest class out of all of us, and he came home. He got fourth place, but it was out of 22 athletes, so, and that was just in his class. It was very tough.
Wow, that class.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly. And, I mean, there's a lot of amateurs. That was 22 just in his class, and there were, I think, four or five different height classes for the amateurs. So, you know, looking at about 100 or so amateur men, and then you have the females, of course. So there were over 400 athletes competing in the show. It was just amazing. So some others, Ariana Pollard, she's a figure pro. She's got the silver medal. Ariel Coleman got the bronze medal. Ethel Richardson, she's 65 years young, came out there and did work, and she represented. She went and she won her division, but she also went up against some of the Masters division ladies and held her own against them. So congrats to her. And generally, Sawatsky, she came and she did. She's the fitness. So they had fitness routines out there, and she came back with a silver medal with her routine. Veronica Malloy, who won the Natural Olympia last year for figure. You know, she's probably one of the most energetic ladies that was out there, and she got the bronze medal in figure this time. Let's see who else we had there. Nora Reynoso, she won her, she had a gold medal in her division as well. And let's see, who am I missing here? So I think that was basically all of Team USA that competed. We also had Adrian Petraea. He was our USA judge for America, because he was the only representative that was a judge for the U.S. All the other judges were either Hungarian, you know, Australian, just from different countries. So, you know, we had our USA team. We had to work that out for us, because it wasn't like we had, you know, U.S. judges looking at us to have any kind of bias or favor. It was, you know, a mixed crowd of judges from all over the world. So, and, of course, Denny and Diana Kekos, without them, none of this would happen. Denny Kekos, who's the world president for the IMBA, PMBA, you know, he helped form the team up and gave us all a pep talk, but he couldn't say too much, obviously, because he's the world president. He can't be biased for our team. But it was great having him out there, and, of course, he was very happy that we did so well.
Well, there you go. Now, that, you took the actually – stepped on something that I've been wanting to talk about, simply because when I was telling the listeners about who was going to be on the show today and why was it such a special episode, it was that about you, and then I would bring up the point about muscle maturity. And a lot of times I've noticed in the gym, out in the real world, a lot of times especially, is that people mistake muscle maturity for being on gear simply because the muscle is so developed. But there is a strong difference and a severe, I mean, like bridge between one and the other. And I remember you were one of the first people I heard talking about that. If you could elaborate that on that for the listeners, please.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even like I was mentioning before, that Ethel Richardson, like she's 65 years young, going up against, you know, some of the females that are out there. And you can tell, you know, some of the girls are obviously younger than her. But because she has a muscle maturity and she's been competing, I mean, she showed us a picture of herself when she was, I think, in her 20s or maybe 30. And, you know, there's not much difference. She just keeps her body young and in shape and takes care of herself. And so she really represents what it's like to, you know, mature gracefully and have that muscle. And, of course, the prime example for the men would be a Marshall Johnson, who just comes out with that grainy, hard look that, you know, you can't get it if you're 21 years old, you know, and you see him next to guys, you know, you may see him in clothes on or, you know, from far away or something. You're like, okay, you know, he looks like, an athlete for sure. But you get close enough to him, like where the judges are looking, it's like, it's unreal that the skin gets so thin and vascular and grainy that when you just put him next to someone else, it just creates such a vast illusion that no one else can touch. So I think the older competitors, you know, they possess that, you know, even like somebody like Cleveland Thomas, he's in his 40s. I think a lot of the guys in their 40s start peaking as a natural competitor because the years and years of just constantly grinding in the gym, constantly, you know, the healthy eating of slowly getting your body fat down low to the levels that you need to be successful as a natural bodybuilder, that's what muscle maturity is. And you're not going to get that. Even the younger guys, you can diet hard, do the same kind of diet that maybe, myself or a Marshall or somebody does, but it's not going to give the same result because you need to get that years and years of that grind of hitting the muscle, just working out, pounding it with, workouts after workout, hitting the muscle groups, and it's getting that refinement, So it's that mature muscle just like we're talking about.
Yeah, I have to agree. And one good example, especially what you bring up Marshall Johnson, and that was Zachary Roush, because that fella, he came in looking really good at the show he did with Marshall. But when you stood them next to each other, you could see the vast difference. And, it's no anything against Zachary, because he looked phenomenal. But, like you said, when you stand next to somebody of that kind of muscle maturity, it was distinct. I mean, it wasn't something that you could miss. It's pretty obvious that go ahead.
No, you're right. I was at that show. I was judging the Sunday show because it's the military type. And I was really looking forward to seeing, Zachary, because he's got that, look. He's just ripped, glutes, hamstrings. You see the pictures of him, you're like, whoa. And you knew he's going to be a real threat to Marshall. But when he's being there live and I took pictures and everything, I was like, wow, Marshall's just, head and toes above. It was, you can see the huge difference, and it's just because of the maturity. That's all it is. Balance-wise, Zachary equaled Marshall, maybe even better. But because of the graininess and the size of the muscle density, Marshall just was untouchable that day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, it was something to behold. And then, when I was watching the individual pictures in Budapest, I was thinking, these guys look real good. And there was one fella, I don't know his name, but his legs were just popping on stage. But now when you go, like I said, to stand them next to somebody, because I think a lot of people in the gym get confused on this as well, where they look at the gym at them at solo pictures and they say, wow, this is the best I've looked in my life. But then you go up against somebody that's been using their whole life to constantly improve that muscle. There's separation on separation on separation, and they might not see it because they don't have the trained eye. They have an untrained eye when they're looking. But for, like you said, with a judge is looking for it, and he's used to judging tighter shows and, stiffer competition, these are the things that really, separate the men from the boys, no pun intended.
True indeed. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's a testament. I would say, for all the guys, I think guys like myself and Marshall and some of the other dudes that talk to the younger competitors that are trying to, aspire to be champions and this and that, they can just stay with it and be consistent, especially the guys that really have that potential, guys like a Davion Hill who's already out there, slaying giants and stuff like that. I can imagine if he keeps his physique and continues to grow, he's going to be, in his 40s and this would be untouchable because of the fact that he'll have that muscle maturity on top of his already great physique. There's a lot of guys that are like that if they continue on, life gets a hold of you. It's kind of hard to keep grinding for year after year and injuries and things like that can happen. But if you can do it, I'll tell you, when you get into your 40s, you'll reap the rewards of that muscle maturity.
I would have to totally agree with that. We've had some guests on the show that talk about having longer improvement seasons. And I know for myself personally, just coming off of a year-long improvement season, now that I am back into things full swing, the muscle memory, if you will, which is tied into, I think, muscle maturity, is responding so much better and so much faster than it has even just the first couple of years that I started with this sport. And so with kind of that as, I guess, my own personal example, talk to us a little bit about the importance of, a fine-tuned off-season when it comes to, or improvement season, when it comes to I guess, maintaining your, I guess, focus, drive, insanity, or sanity, not insanity. Maybe it's the same thing. But sanity.
trying to
maintain that consistency over the years so you can develop this muscle maturity that you're talking about.
Right. And that's a great question because, honestly, it's probably the question I get the most, you know, besides the normal questions that everybody asks, you know. But, yeah, it's tough because you have to have some kind of discipline and motivation to continue to year after year. I mean, it's really day after day, keep grinding, mm-hmm. you know, making sure you make your workouts, making sure that you're cooking your food, you know, the right way. That's going to make sure that you're gaining quality muscle and not, you know, going overboard and just eating whatever, especially like if you have family and your kids who want to eat mac and cheese and cookies and all this other stuff. If you do that for your off season and then hoping to make any kind of real improvements for your next show, whenever that is, it's probably not going to happen. You're going to look the same or maybe even worse. So, you know, you have to really focus on keeping, you know, that drive and that motivation. And that's why for me, and I'm probably not the best example, but this is what I do. You know, I know that there's other people that do different things and it works for them, but I've been pretty active on the scene ever since I started competing. So I tend to do at least one show per year, if not, you know, at least three. So, and I think when you have a show or something that you're targeting, it just helps you keep that drive because you know you got to be at your best when you're stepping on stage. And it's tough. And you've got to find a way to, I guess, learn your body well enough so you know what you can do as far as your diet, what you can do with your training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, it makes your prep a lot easier. It's not going to be, you know, there's going to be that stress. And there's going to be those, you know, times that it's going to, you know, you're going to probably make someone mad or you're going to get mad or frustrated or whatever the deal is. But I think if you live the lifestyle to where you're used to competing all the time, I mean, look at Marshall. I see that guy doing show after show. He probably averages six shows a year, which is unheard
mm-hmm.
of, you know. And he always seems to have still that positive demeanor, and he just has that energy and zest for life, you know. And that's because I think he knows his body so well that he knows what he can
yes.
do. He can kind of experiment, you know, here and there, coming bigger, coming more tighter, you know, depending. And I feel like I've done the same thing. I know if I can turn it on and off when I need to because you just know your body so well that you know how to train, and whether it's, you know, certain stressful situations with your job or your family or this and that, you just got to know how to balance everything. And if you can do that and you can still compete, you'll keep that motivation, you know, throughout. Because I know a lot of people that take years off because they say, oh, you're going to make the most gains by taking a year off and 2 years off and this and that. But sometimes when life gets a hold of you, you won't even know how to come back, you know, because you're just getting
yeah.
used to
yep.
not how to get on stage. So I feel it's good to have something that you have targeted and make it your focus and your goal to really do it and not back out, because when you do that, I think that will force you to stay motivated, stay, you know, grinding in the gym, because no one wants to be embarrassed when they step on stage.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And that's basically segues right into this one, and that's what you were talking about. When you're competing, you're also using that discipline, and that's dietary as well, because I think a lot of people, I know there are a lot of people that compete, and it's not a bucket list for them. They did have two or three shows they planned on doing, but because of the diet after the shows, it like you said, it becomes near impossible because their body is so strained from basically that metabolic shock that they're putting themselves in, and then they have the insulin coma that comes right behind it. I can't imagine that kind of thought process that says, "Hey, now let's get ready for show." It's got to be incredibly tough. So, you know, when you're going through that diligence, because, you know, a lot of people like to access your military background and say, you know, well, that's why. I said, but you still had to have that kind of mindset before you went in.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree. I mean, the military helped out, but, you know, I've been out of the military since 2011, and I've obviously still had to keep that up. And even beforehand, you know, just growing up, I played football and this and that, and I had a, you know, a great family, but my dad was pretty strict to the point where, you know, I just knew that I had to do something, otherwise I was going to get in trouble, you know. And I think when you have that kind of work ethic, it forces you to kind of, you know, plan. You have to plan, you know, your whole life. You have to plan your food. You have to plan if you're doing homework or schoolwork or whatever. And so if you don't do that and you kind of just don't have organization or skills to plan things out, you're going to fail, you know. So that's something that you can learn even before the military. There's a lot of guys in the military who aren't, you know, disciplined. They're disciplined enough to do that job in the military, but that doesn't mean they're going to be disciplined in other areas of their life. And especially if you've got something that you're really passionate about, you know, we're not all bodybuilders and stuff. Of course, for the show we are, but there's people that have other things, whether it's, you know, being an artist or a musician or, you know, other sports. And it's, you got to keep training and practicing as if you're, you know, getting ready for something, because if you're trying to be the best, that's what it takes. You know, I think that's probably the reason why that, you know, there are only so many few elite people in certain sports, because it just takes that kind of mindset to really focus and have that as part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, and for sure, it's not a lifestyle that's for everybody. And so it does take that special mindset. And so I'm going to totally shift gears here. I have a question that's not really related to a whole lot that we've been talking about, but I want to go ahead and ask it, and I'm excited that I'm going to be able to ask you. So a lot of times when we're talking about contest prep, we're always talking about the leaning down process and the dieting and the trying to lose the weight so that you are bringing the best physique you can to stage. But I guess what about when you are losing weight too fast, too far out from your show, and you are worried about maintaining and or losing your muscle mass way too early? Any tips or thoughts about that for us?
Yeah, I suffered from that a lot, and probably still do. Because if you have, you know, some people have a slow metabolism, some people have fast metabolism. You have to know what your body can take, and that's the importance of knowing your body. And some people, I met a guy from Egypt this weekend. His name is Bali, and he told me he was dieting for 9 months, and he was just on like low carbs and this and that. And this, I was like, how can you prep that way for 9 months? And he came in looking smaller and flatter because he just, you know, overdid it. And this is his first show, so I mean, you got to give him a break on that. But you can't do that. You can't diet for so long and not expect to, you know, really, one, you can mess up your metabolism. Two, you know, you can come in stringy, you're not the way you want to be and not be optimal. So it's sometimes good to have a coach or somebody that's going to look at you, can help you realize that, hey, you're ready and you're like 4 months out, you need to do this, you know, you eat more food. Or maybe if you're on a certain diet and you're just dropping your macros, you can reverse diet at that point to kind of feed yourself again and get yourself back to a certain level to put you at the 2 month out, you know, scenario or whatever. For me, I usually get to a point where if I know I'm losing too much, I will kind of just stabilize where I'm at, and then I'll have a lot of refeed days where I can eat more food and enjoy family time, especially, you know, on the weekend. If there's like birthday parties or something, I can choose that time to eat and not have to worry about, like, you know, I'm going to spill over or I'm going to, you know, lose the definition that I've already got, because I'd rather gain that stuff back versus trying to come in too stringy. So as a lot of times you think, I truly feel there's some people, for everybody, I think if you're dieting, you're only going to get so lean, you know, and then to the point where you're going to start losing muscle. And you have to realize where that point is. I think a lot of us have our sweet spot when it comes to our weight, where we know that at this weight, I'm going to probably be close to my leanest I'm going to get. And I know that I talked to Marshall Johnson about that a lot, and he has his weight, I've got mine. I know if I get lower than that, then I need to start eating some more, because, you know, that's not a good look to be that small, you know, especially as a pro or whatever. It doesn't matter what level you're at. But, you know, so if you're getting to the point where you feel like you're over dieting, you definitely have to just start feeding yourself, and don't be afraid that, oh, I'm going to eat, and next, you know, I'm just going to go and, you know, kind of like what we were talking about before, where people compete, next, you know, they're getting to that insulin slamming where they're, you know, getting the food coma and stuff. You, of course, you keep your foods clean, but you just add more calories slowly back into, you know, or cut back on cardio or whatever you're doing to kind of stabilize yourself or even maybe gain a few pounds back. So it's just pretty simple when it comes to your nutrition and your cardio. what you can go ahead and do to kind of make sure you're not, you know, over dieting.
Yeah. Now, this is a fan based question, and because like I said, I was telling everybody, you know, you were going to be on the show, and then I had them Google your name because I didn't want them calling me a lie by sending them pictures.
Yeah.
And the thing that got me is because this is something I knew, and that's your legs, and you had said that was one of your toughest body parts, and to look at now, you would never guess that. And, you know, I can't imagine the amount of focus and time that you had to put in on them. But, you know, when people are talking about genetics, I said, well, that kind of puts that in the myth kind of scale. You know, like, without the hard work, what good is genetics would be the question, I guess, is the question they're asking. Because they can't believe that was such a tough body part for you looking the way they look now.
Oh, yeah, man. I think we've talked about it many times, Caitlin, about, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I first started competing, you know, I was 5'9", especially in football, 5'9", 145 pounds. Legs were, you know, skinny, you know, people even say I had chicken legs, you know. And I did some shows, and I was always really lean. And the first couple of shows, I was actually able to win my class because of the fact that I was, you know, the most defined one up there. And that's without having a great diet or anything. But then when I actually competed against somebody who, you know, actually trained right and had muscle maturity and legs, I got blown away. And when I saw that, I just had to turn my focus to, you know, doing exactly what that guy did that beat me. And that was my whole goal. So I would watch the guy. He was like a semi-pro football player before. He was in the Marine Corps, this and that. And I saw how he was doing deep squats. And so I just followed his, you know, routine. And, you know, it took me a couple of years before I started seeing the results that were going to be good enough to make my legs look good. But, I mean, when I saw the difference, it was just amazing. And just, I think if you want to improve a body part, you need to do your research and figure out the people who you want to look like or who beat you or whatever it is. And they've got the body part or the something that you want. You know, you follow what they're doing. And that's exactly what I did. I followed that guy's workout. I actually know my legs just blew up. And so, you know, genetics are genetics. But, I mean, I think genetics, when it comes to the shape of your body, that's something that you can't change so much. But when it
mm-hmm.
comes to muscle size and things like that, I definitely am living proof that, you know, you can definitely improve, you know, whatever genetic makeup you have. And when it came to my legs, that was a shock to see that squatting, deep squats were, you know, the key for me to get my legs just to blow up. And then, you know, for the glutes and the hamstrings and all that to come out was another thing that I was surprised to happen. But that also came, too, with your diet, you know, because you have to have not only the very heavy lifting for legs and doing it with the proper form, but also, you know, making sure your diet is on point. So, and I came to the point where my legs actually started to overpower my upper body. And so I think a lot of people probably don't mind having that, you know, that problem. And I think it's pretty good when it comes to bodybuilding. But then I got to the point where I was like, man, I gotta work on some other things. So, and I think my shoulders ended up being super weak compared to my legs. I didn't have that width to go up against guys, you know, like a Martin Daniels and, you know, Waddington and Justin Figueroa, some guys, and of course Kyoshi and things like that. So I had to now double that back and not train my legs, you know, keeping that as a priority, but now to look at shoulders, and I was able to put some real good meat on my shoulders. So I think if you have a weak body part and you really put that focus on it, whether you're training it twice a week or heavy or, you know, a certain form or just changing things up, you can definitely change your genetics.
Yes. And well, you know, I think the reason I have such a boot spur against genetics is because it's a cop out. And you know, I remember, like, well, when I was, like you said, I have a sports background, and a lot of times it would be somebody deciding to use enhancements, you know, like the steroids, the growth hormone, because, you know, I'm not as fast as so and so. Instead of pushing yourself to get better, you say, well, you know, because this person's always going to have a leg up on me, then, you know, I got to do something different. And I'm thinking, yeah, you got to do something different, but you don't need to cheat. And, you know, when you give the washout excuse of just saying genetics, then it's like, well, I don't stand a chance. And you and I both know if you work at it, you might not get the leg of that person, but your legs are definitely going to get better. I don't follow along that mindset that you can't improve because you're so focused on someone else. If you focus on yourself, like you said, you had to do, you had to double down on the work you're doing because obviously what you're doing wasn't enough.
Exactly. That was perfect the way you said that because a lot of people use excuses and then they continue to do the same thing that's keeping them to where they're, you know, I don't want to say failing, but to where they're not getting the optimal training for that part that's weak. So if you want to see differences, you change things up. And I've even gotten to the point where I did the same thing over and over again and I come in with the same package. And, you know, if you really want to make those changes, whether it's eating more food or training a certain weak body part twice a week, those are things that's going to really make the difference. But you got to put in the time and the effort and the heart to make those changes instead of making excuses. If you make excuses, then you're going to get what you get. But if you're willing to put in the time and effort to improve something, like you said, it's not going to look like the person you might be chasing, but it could be the best you that you can do, you know, and that's all you can ask for. You know, you got to go with whatever God gave you, so.
Yeah. And I wholeheartedly agree with that because, you know, you can't improve unless you find a way to work harder, like you said, with diet. Because I know people that I don't assess to the overtraining. I said you either under-eat or under-sleep, but, you know, working a muscle to its best, I mean, how do you know unless you keep pushing? And, you know, but if you under-diet, and under sleep, then yeah, your body's going to suffer because, you know, that tripod ain't working. But there's another thing that I'd like to talk on, especially with a pro of your caliber, you know, natural Olympia now, world, my goodness, champion. When, you know, there's people that have been winning at their pro cards, and I think that's nice, and they do look good. But I'm going to go back a couple of years. And there was a judge that made a point, and it really, you know, because he had a valid point, but I didn't agree with him. Well, I still don't. And what he was saying was, this guy put him in a group of pros on stage, and he gets creamed. I mean, just crushed if he gets on stage with the pros. But it's a pro qualifier show, and this young man was the best at that show. In that venue, bar none, he was the guy that was going to win. And he said, well, then he shouldn't get a pro card because he didn't look like what the pros were looking like. And I'm not, you know, it's no point in throwing names out there or talking about organizations or affiliations. The point was, you know, because I've seen many times where, like you said, that mindset where these guys are winning and they say, well, this is what a pro body looks like. And I'm saying, no, this is what a pro qualifying body looks like. But it's not a pro physique because they're so much smaller. And this is recently, especially now, where I'm seeing, you know, the bodies are much, much smaller than the pros that have been competing for years. And I don't know if that's stemming from the lean being such a focus in the competition or just bad dieting, like you said, coming in a little bit too small and flat, you know, because like I've seen flat guys win their pro cards simply because they kept the heart all the way through it. But yeah, as a pro, where do you think we're going as far as, you know, guys your size, with the muscle maturity, fullness, thickness, and lean? And is that something we can sustain with the leanness that these guys are trying to bring to stage with such small muscle? I mean, because honestly, I'm thinking about the health side and the benefit of it, and I'm also looking like something that we can sustain because I think if we keep depleting the muscle to the way they're doing it with the leanness they're trying to achieve, especially with the immature muscle, I don't know if that's something we can do down the road for the long haul.
Yeah, I do agree with that. It's so tough, you know, because you look at bodybuilding now, and you're seeing kind of the same guys over the years, the same ones that were placing near the top that, you know, come in with the other size and condition, you know, guys like the Siobhan Cunninghams and you know, Brian Whitaker and, you know, Willie Brown. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of these guys that are coming in. There's usually the same names at the top. And then, like you say, you go to this pro qualifier, depending on the show, and, you know, they'll get that pro card. They can put on a face of their pros and this and that. And a lot of people are saying, well, you're a pro, but you're not going to be good enough to do well in a pro. And some people get maybe frustrated or perturbed to even try to compete in a pro show because of what people are saying, or maybe they see other pros and they kind of get, like I said, discouraged. And I believe that, you know, you have to have that drive and heart because, you know, in natural bodybuilding, it's not one of those sprints, a marathon. And a lot of these pros, if they keep at it, you know, and don't give up, you can see some of them starting to crack into the top and even coming close to beating, you know, some of the top guys. Because I look at Lash, I have a prime example of this guy. I met him a while back, I think maybe 2011. He's a new pro. And when you saw him, you know, he's kind of small. He had a good look to him and with balance and everything, but he wasn't with the type of physique that was lean enough or big enough to be able to be a top five pro, you know, by any means. I just talked to him. I said, you know, you got a lot of potential. You know, I judged him in the pro show. I don't think he did well at all. I said, you got potential. You just got to, you know, just told him just keep staying consistent with your type of physique. You know, I like to tell people, if someone reminds me of myself when I was younger, I can give them that kind of advice that they can just continue on and, you know, good things will happen in the future. And this guy's name is Victor Ogonu, and he actually last year at the York Cup, he placed second to Brian Whitaker, who was the overall winner in the middleweight, in the lightweight class. And he beat guys like Moji Alua and Marshall Johnson. And because he came out of nowhere, when I saw him, I was like, who the heck is this guy? He looks so different. And that's because he put, you know, the critiques and everything else to use, and he had the fire lit on him, and he actually did it. And this guy was still young. This guy's probably not even 30 yet, but because he put in that work and whatever his genetics are, he came out, you know, and shocked everybody. And now he's going to keep on going. He ended up doing the NGA show and doing well at that. He's in pretty much top two or three in every show that he did last year because he put that drive to work. So my point is that there are guys out there, if they just don't give up and they stay consistent, I think that the natural bodybuilding world actually can get better and improve, because I think over the year, evolution just brings us to a point where people are going to get better and better. You got the Davion Heroes, you got a lot of other young guys that are coming out, and you're like, man, you know, I'm hoping to see the next, you know, superstar that's out there that can take over for guys like, you know, the Kyoshis and, you know, Doug Millers and you know, Siobhan and all these other guys and Martin Daniels. And, you know, you even see a guy like Meshach. He's actually not as old as some of the competitors. And Meshach is still, you know, doing work. He already looks unreal. And imagine him just getting older and getting more and more grainier. You know, there'll be one guy that's going to be almost impossible to beat. So there's still people that's out there that people just don't know. And that, you know, over time, it's just going to continue on. I just think, you know, the more we can support these athletes by, you know, prize money, better testing, and bigger shows and venues and things like that, it'll come. We'll start seeing these freaks of nature that are out there. And like I said, going overseas and seeing some of these guys, if we can get some of these guys and promote them coming over here to the States to compete because there's some great pros, I mean, it'll keep growing. Trust me. I've seen some amateurs and pros out overseas, Budapest, that, you know, they come over here, they'll hurt some people's feelings.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always harken back to when I saw Marco when he came over here from Italy.
Right, Marco Addis, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those biceps of his, and honestly, if you don't know what Rico and I are talking about, go online, check it out. This guy's biceps do some freakish stuff as far as the way they're formed and everything else. And he is a strong advocate for natural everything. And just watch what his bicep could do. I'd love to see some of his routines.
They call him Mr. Peak because of the bicep.
Yeah, Mr. Peak. Exactly. He looks really good. But, you know, I've never seen that kind of formation of a bicep Well, I'll let you talk about it because I'm sure you've been up closer to me.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Marco, he's just a very happy guy, and his fan. That's the thing too. We're in the States, you know. We got, you know, social media and fans and this and that. But when you see some of these guys overseas, they have so many fans. Like Marco, his fan base, the dude has way more friends and this and that than I can ever imagine. Because I go on his page, we go on his Facebook page, he's got like all the girls love him, you know. So they're like yelling, "Oh, Mr. P, this and that." I mean, like he's got like 1,000 comments on each one of his pictures because he's just like the guy, you know. He's Mr. Italy.
Yeah.
So you know, he pretty much represents his whole entire country as one of the top natural bodybuilders out there, and they're always, you know,
right,
and seeing him as a champion. And that's with a lot of, you know, athletes internationally. There's a guy that competed at the show here in Budapest. His name is Irv the Blade. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. Last name, Phenom or something like that. But this guy is big time out here. She was from Dubai, but he hails from France. You know, he's a black guy with dreads, and he's just huge. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's got a huge fan base, and there's so many guys like that, you know, another Australian guy. Besides the Michael Waddington and Joseph Figueroa, we had Peter Hartwick, another young guy who has a fantastic future. He looks like Franco Colombo.
He's going to be
looking
good.
Dude, you know, and he's going to be super good, you know. He's dangerous, you know. We talked a lot. He had a great time out there in Budapest and traveling all throughout Europe. These are the type of guys that are the future of the sport. And, you know, when you see them, they got these fan bases, you know, just like Marco, Mr. Peak. So, yeah, that's just how it is. And I've been big advocates of natural bodybuilding.
Oh, I'm excited. And I know, like, when we were speaking some years back, how you had touched on, you know, we'd hoped it would grow because it had stagnated, to be honest. And it was kind of bad because I really wanted the people to know the natural community. You know, with your time in, and really thought, you know, it should be bigger, which it should be, and there's no doubt about that. But it's good to see now the growth and the recognition. I think that's the best part of it, is that people said this can be done. Because like you were saying, generation we have coming up, they don't have any doubt. Like for us, we were saying, you know, it would be nice to have. They're seeing you guys after all these years, and they're saying it can be done. Because Davion, Ryan, whenever he comes back, you know he's going to be phenomenal. Luino, these guys are just they're so far ahead in the game because they never questioned if it could be done. I mean, because you know, like you said, okay, there's Arnold, but you know he did what he did, and then there's so and so, but he did what he did, and then they saying, well, there's Kiyoshi. There's Cleveland, there's Martin Daniels, there's Marshall, and you're such advocates of the sport because you stay around it that they don't have to do the guesswork. And I think that's beautiful that they're going into it wholeheartedly where we can only basically figure things out. They're going into it with actual knowledge.
You hit it right in the head, brother. Yep, that's right. They got the upper hand because, you know, we're – preaching a good word, you know, and now we've got people that are here listening and putting it into practice, and they're going to be way ahead of where we were when we were in our 20s, you know, because we just didn't know. There wasn't social media, there weren't prep coaches and all these other things. So they got the upper hand, and I can see them just, you know, and plus they're so smart too. I mean, I see some of these guys just being first-term pro, you know, they've got videos they're putting out, and they're just, you know, they're all trainers and all, I mean, they have that energy because they see the possibilities, you know, and the possibilities that we probably didn't see before. And they're already creating fame for themselves, you know, and some of them are doing video blogs and writing books and this and that. I mean, that's the future for it. And if you keep doing that, it's just going to spread the word even more than, you know, what we've already spread. So, and, you know, I think even the same thing with the females, you know, there's a lot of them. I know I don't talk a lot about the females, Desiree, so I know that I give them some love too. I'm talking about, you know, girls like Candace Scott, you know, that's always out there doing, you know, phenomenal things. Kerry Bowen. And Kerry Bowen is, I think, another great example of muscle maturity for women because if you saw her at the Yorton Cup and, you know, I've been following her for a while too, she comes in so grainy and hard. She's not a big girl, but that girl just kills it. And she kills the competition because she just has that muscle maturity. But, you know, she's one of those girls you can look at that, she's helping spread the word for a natural body for the females. And you got the Stephanie Casellas, Kristen Campbell's, and you know, there's so many greats out there, both on the male and female side, that it's pretty much up to all of us to keep spreading it and, you know, passing it down to the youngsters so that the sport can continue to grow.
Yeah. Now, that you brought up a good point, and I should have touched on this sooner when we were talking about it, the muscle maturity. This has been a big thing with women that have been consistent throughout the year with the weight training, is that their muscle maturity has been greatly confused with being on something. I remember Angela Yeoh had gone through something in her gym where the person was basically just coming to her face and telling her she was on something. And, and she was just blown away because, you know, we see ourselves every day, so we don't see the changes as anybody else might see after missing 2 or 3 weeks. And she was just kind of distraught over that. Like, why the personal attack when I'm doing everything right?
I think that's the nature of the beast, you know, that unless people know the sport for real, like, I mean, there's a big difference between people that are on something and that are not. And I think I feel bad for women because natural bodybuilding for women, you know, there's a lot of natural females that could probably compete with the women in, like, the NPC and maybe even IFBB because when they start getting that muscle maturity and doing it the right way, you know, they're very comparable. Willie Brown is like Diane Brown. You know, she's been, like, a multiple Jordan Cup winner and top natural pro, and she turned IFBB pro, and she's out there still killing it, you know, for female bodybuilding as a natural athlete. So it can be done. And, yeah, of course, when you go in a gym, it can be, you know, either you take it as a compliment or it can disturb you when, you know, people kind of accuse you of being this or that. But, I mean, a lot of the people like Angela Yeoh, she's not like a huge girl. She just has beautiful muscle, you know, and that's a lot of girls are like that. It's just the shape of their muscle and them just really being strict enough on their diet and paying close attention to nutrition that gets them to look the way they look, and that's all it is, you know. And of course, maybe they have an athletic background and things like that. So, you know, like old Patricia Payne, you know, former Patricia Beckham.
Oh my God!
Her and her twin sister. You know, they're just phenomenal. You can tell that they genetically they're just blessed, you know, and they continue to dominate because of the fact that they just paid that attention. They got muscle tissue. They're both, you know, late 30s, maybe, you know, pushing almost 40, you know, and they came out and dominated with their just genetics, and it had nothing to do with drugs, you know. And the people are probably accusing them of things, but that's just the nature of the beast.
But I like you said, because we didn't know, there were some people that had figured it out early, you know, yourself being one of them, that if you stay close to it, you have to improve sooner because you're staying close to it. Because I can remember back with football where you had the season and then you had basically just downtime before you had to play again. And then the people that were coming in better were the ones that basically said, well, I'm not stopping. I'm not going 100% full bore, but I'm not getting so far away from it, like you said, where you come back and your body just says, well, I don't know what to do anymore. And you basically left on, you know, an island hoping that somebody sends you either a life preserver or a lifeboat and get you back to the ship or get you off Gilligan's Island. Because I really think that's what, you know, because the enhanced bodybuilding had taken so much of the focus that people that weren't doing anything unnatural were trying to maintain their basically lifestyle, their basic lifestyle, which was, you know, do the drugs to get on stage and then basically blow it up, you know, during the quote-unquote off-season. And then you had people that weren't doing those drugs trying to mimic that life, and their body is saying, well, I have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I love, like, Jerry Rice is one of my favorite all-time NFL players. That dude, his off-season regimen was you know, phenomenal, and that's why year after year he's consistent and he's the best of all time. You know, that's what it takes. You just got to keep it going. You can't just use some, you know, something as the crutch for you to be successful, like, you know, obviously, you know, you got to use your own hard work and have that mental attitude that you can keep improving no matter what. I think that's what, you know, natural bodybuilders, you got to give them all the credit in the world for what they do because, you know, they have to be very patient. It takes a longer time, but that patience will pay off because you can keep competing in your 40s, 50s, 60s and still be very, very successful.
Yes. And the one thing that, and I don't know if you're a book reader, but there was one I read, and it has nothing to do with bodybuilding, trust me. But you'll see the analogy when I'm done. And it was Flowers for Algernon. And it was basically a man had been mentally challenged growing up, and he had been given this drug to basically improve his intelligence. And he was so happy, you know, and then before he knew it, he was a genius, you know, and he's doing wow. all these things. And his body said, that's not me. And so it fought back twice as hard, so he became twice as dumb than he had been when he started. And I'm saying this is what I read as a kid, so this is the thing that I've had since I was a child, because I said, if you introduce something to your body that's not natural, then it won't know what to do with it, and basically it's going to fight back because it has to get back to normal. And this is what metabolism is, and I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of good metabolism, bad metabolism. If something is foreign to what it's not used to, it's going to fight back, because the normal that might not be normal for everybody else is normal for that person. And they'll go through all kinds of changes trying to right that ship. And I think that's what drugs does to people more than anything, is it basically has the ship so top that the body can never react right. And by the time it does, it needs that wave to stay normal, and there's no way it can be consistent with good health because you're in constant decline.
Perfect. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I've been noticing now, especially as I get older. I used to compete, obviously, in the NPCs. I didn't know there were any natural federations, and you know, thank God for ABA, IMBA, and Denny Cakos as the first organization I competed in. Then I went to Muscle Mania, IFPA, NGA. All of them were great, you know, and. But in the NPC, there's some guys I compete against, and it surprised me, or I shouldn't say surprised me, you know, they're taking stuff. And you know, I've seen guys my age just passing away. I'd see it, you know, I get these news feeds, I'm like, what? I know that guy competed against something, and this and that. And
it's on a consistent basis.
Yeah, it's very consistent. It's pretty much on a monthly basis that you're seeing. And, of course, you see, you know, a lot of the other superstars that are maybe not necessarily bodybuilders, but people that are either in wrestling
that
or other sports,
in
you know, where they're taking
it.
Yeah, they're in their lifestyle. You know, that Kimbo Slice, you know, that's another one that just passed away,
yep.
And you know, he's in his 40s, and he's you know, known for his drug use, and you know, they won't put down drugs as what the reason for him passing away, but that's, you know, there's a correlation to all of it.
It's kind of like the AIDS virus. I don't know if you remember that, where nobody really died of AIDS. But they would just say pneumonia, flu, influenza, or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's the same thing they're doing with the steroid use. It's basically saying a heart attack. And I'm like, no, it's not a heart attack. It's from a large heart. It's liver disease. It's a kidney disease. It's like kidney failure. But they don't put it. They just put died in his sleep.
Right.
Why are we giving that crutch? Well, that's a whole other show. We won't go there. I'm just saying, you can't get on stage, and the people that do are basically so train wrecked that, you know, it's almost like watching a dying horse run a race, and you have more pity for it than actual, you know, support. And, you know, it, like you told me, and I've told everybody, and I want you to know, I always say, Rico told me. I'm not taking that one, because that was something you said, and I'll believe with it. You said it's the fountain of youth to be a natural athlete and be consistent in staying naturally athletic. And by keeping your body fine-tuned and honed, you do maintain a lifestyle that's consistent with healthy living, because actually it is a healthy lifestyle if you do it correctly.
You're so right, brother. Yep, and I'm glad you gave me credit, brother. I probably got that from somebody else myself, but I just see it. You know, especially the more I compete, and that's why I love competing. Everybody that I see, the 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds or 40-year-olds, you know, they just keep on doing it. They got the energy, their faces, they don't seem to age. You know, it's a beautiful thing to see. And for me, as I get older, you know, I try to avoid injury, and it's something that is inevitable for probably anybody that works out and trains. But, it's not to the point where it stops me from being able to play with my kids and
yes.
run around and they can jump on me. You know, I got my daughters want me to spin them around in circles, or you know, my son wants to wrestle around, or whatever. You know, I enjoy being able to still do that and do it to the point where I'm not getting wore out. You know, I can still run faster. My son, I'm sure he's gonna beat me soon, but you know, that gives me some pride, and you know that I can do that, and you know, and I can walk around the kid, and the other kids will see me and look at me as like I'm, you know, a superhero or something. It's just a surprise. It's a proud feeling to have that I can do that because of the fact that I'm taking care of myself. You know, it doesn't make me feel like
yes.
I'm better than anybody else, but it's still something that I can take pride in because of the fact that, you know, that's what you want. You want your kids to be proud of you, and kids know that you can play with them. And then
you can
be around and hopefully to see them when they're, you know, getting married and still be, you know, to play with your grandkids and all that stuff when it happens, because you're living the right way and not going to be, you know, in a wheelchair or something like that. So that's the goal, you know, to keep staying as young as I can for as long as I can.
I wouldn't have said it better. I mean, and being Father's Day weekend, I hadn't even made the connection until you said that, but I thank God for you because, you know, you're being a dad at home makes you a dad on stage, makes you a dad at work, and it makes you a leader in so many other avenues of life, and you can be consistent with it because you know you're not cheating. And I think that's the best thing about a natural athlete, is that they're doing things they can be proud of. Like you said, you're not feeling like you're better than anyone, but you know you're at your best. And you did it in a way that can be consistently good. Because I'll never forget in high school when this team cheated. And I said, well, they're not going to make the championship. I said, because they're dependent now upon the way they cheated. You know, they need that little hook, that little, you know, mud pit for everybody else to happen every game in order for them to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as a team, we're better. You know, I remember my team looking at me like I'd lost my mind because I was excited because I said they had to cheat to win. We're going to see them again. But I'm excited because I know next time they ain't going to have that referee. They ain't going to have that scorekeeper. We're going to win, you know, and I said, you know, that everybody was sad because we should have won, yes, but we didn't. But, you know, these are the things that happen in life that challenge you to either be better or worse. And nobody was going to take the joy I was feeling because, like I said, I was super excited because the next time we meet up, we got them. Like, it was almost like, what is it, that money in the bag. I'm, like, so happy.
Right.
And I think that's what it comes down to. When you can walk into anywhere and know you're at your best because you haven't done any underlying thing to take away from what you're actually walking into the venue, the gym, anywhere with. When people talk to you, you can be consistent with your response. And, you know, that's as a man. That, you know, just take the gym out. Let's talk just about Father's Day. Being a dad, it's so much better to give an honest response, which is the truth, than to come up with some fictitious statement and have to think about it every time you go to speak.
Powerful right there. Yep, you're right, brother. You are right. That is true. And I think that's even more things, I guess I could say it on kind of this show, too. I don't know how true it's going to be, but, you know, this year especially has been pretty busy for me, even with the competitions, and I did like 3 guest posings before the show and then the show, and I got 2 more guest posings. And, you know, I miss a lot of things with the kids. My son, he's playing football. I was a football coach for his team. And, you know, we played a game yesterday. We lost in the playoffs, you know, right before the championship game. But I have a lot of joy being there and doing things like that, you know. And I think because of that, you know, this show that I just did is probably going to be my last show, maybe not forever, but definitely for a long time. I got a couple of guest appearances and stuff, but definitely going to be taking a break. And it's really due to the fact that family, the importance of family. You know, I see it, you know, and my wife, Mary, she's, you know, she's been taking the brunt of everything, having to, you know, stay home with the kids and take care of business while I, you know, travel around and stuff. So you know, being a father too, it means you have to definitely compromise and sacrifice too. So, you know, mothers on Mother's Day, they get a lot of praise because they're the total package of just taking care of everything.
Yes, they are.
Fathers, you know, they're there and they do what they can, but you know, they're the ones that usually are with work or their hobbies and things like that that do stuff. And you know, I get to that point too where I can be selfish, chasing goals and dreams, and I need to, you know, definitely back off. And then, you know, even though, like I say, we want natural body women to grow, that's a great thing about having all these youngsters come up, the up-and-comers coming up and doing that thing. And of course, I'm still going to be involved in bodybuilding, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
Father's Day, I want to make sure that I am studying up even more as a father and being around more often. And that can mean, you know, definitely not seeing me on stage, you know, especially after this year for a while. So, and, you know, so that's big time, I think, for myself and for my family. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll definitely be keeping track of everything going on. And it's great to have, like, guys like you and, you know, both of you guys just continue to promote and have these shows that bring on, you know, people, the voices and the personalities of natural bodybuilding, so they know what's up, you know, they know what's going on.
Well, it makes a big difference that when you can make these statements, because, you know, the one thing we've had to speak on a lot is the person that says, hey, you know, this is the end all be all. And it's not. You know, I can't imagine somebody saying, like with Michael Jordan saying, he made it so clear when he was talking about having the flu and playing that game. And he said, you know,
yeah.
I wanted to win. And he really wanted to win. But he said, if you asked him to do it again, would he? And he said, hell no, I could have died.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but, you know,
true,
I'm a dad, I'm a husband. And I'm sitting there talking about, you know, it was worth it. Are you kidding me?
right.
You know, and
yeah.
You, in the moment, you got to step back and reflect. And that's fine. But if you, like you said, if you're going to do it, go all out. But be able to pull in the reins and realize you do have a family. You can step back and say, hey, you know, this is fine. I'm doing this. And, you know, because there's plenty of us that have those moments where you say, and we're going on vacation, and come hell or high water, we're going to have fun. And nobody else will, but you will, because, you know, that was your goal. And, you know, sometimes it's like that, but it shouldn't be all the time where it's just one-sided. So like you said,
yep.
Pick a time, make that moment, but give all of yourself. You don't have the regret of saying, you know, if only, because that's the worst part of it.
Yep. Perfect. Yep. You're so right, man. Well, I appreciate the words, man. Thank you.
Well, thank you, man. And you know, as a dad and everything you've done, like I said, you're a role model. And people, you know, we give names, but really it goes back to being a good man. And role models are looked up to, and like Charles Barkley say, well, he wasn't. If you're out in the spotlight, guess what? You are, because people are watching. And, you know it, and I know it. Whether they're watching, whether good or bad, happy or sad, I'm sure it's a song in there somewhere. But it gets to a point where you have to really do some self-reflecting in a positive way, because it can be destructive if you're not very careful. Because, you know, even on the natural side, we do some unnatural, not enhanced ways, but just as far as health risks and other things, to compete. Because like I said, we've had some quote unquote coaches and quote unquote nutritionists that don't really give a rat's behind about people's health. They basically just want to stack their criteria and bank on somebody else's basically demise health wise to say, you know, this is the placing I got them because I put their health at such a risk for this one show.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that is very true. Very true. And sometimes, you know, people are, you know, they use the coaches as a crutch too. Just like, you know, like you say, when you talk about crutches, even when it comes to, you know, the unnatural side, where it could be a crutch just having a coach. Sometimes, if you put all your eggs in that one basket without really learning your own self and what
mm-hmm.
can work for you, you know, so a good coach would be able to say, okay, well, what do you normally do, and maybe adjust certain things that they know something can be a little bit better. But if they just give you a blanket plan and say you just do this
yes.
and you cut this, and you know, and they're just basically messing up your metabolism, that's something that you may want to pay attention to, because, like you said, that can really harm you in the long run. You do one show, you may do well, and after that, your body's screwed up for life, or, you know, it takes a while to recover, and it's not a good look. You know, it's not a good thing. It's not the healthy side that we're looking for or aiming for when it comes to this lifestyle, being a natural bodybuilder.
Exactly. Now, as the show comes to an end, Phil, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much to your wife. Thank you so much to your children and your darling kids, because I just adore them and everything they're doing. And I'm just loving how they model after you guys and wanting to be healthy. You know, they're kids. I get it. And people are saying, well, you know, just this and that. No, they're children. And I'm always hurt when people try to give children adult minds and thinking. I'm like, give them time. Because like you said, the mind is a muscle as well. And it needs to grow. And it needs to have that time to grow correctly. And, you know, my little man. No, he's a little boy. How about that? But anywho, as a dad, it's got to be great to see the choices that you made basically emulating out of the children that you're raising.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely proud of them. Definitely proud of them. I mean, it's, you know, they've made their own name. It's just good for our entire family that they can look at us and see that, you know, we all try to be the Fit Fam. You know, Fit Fam is what our Instagram is, and, you know, that all of us have been on stage, and it's not that we're forcing our kids to do anything. They have fun with it. You know, they want to do it. They want to get exposed and do this and that, and it can bleed over into so many different other avenues of their life, you know, because not only are they just doing fitness competitions, but, you know, my daughter obviously loves gymnastics. My son plays every single sport. You know, our youngest is also, you know, tries to flex and do little comedy things and emulate her sister and everything else. So it's good when they look at it, not because we're forcing them to do it, because they want to have fun and they think it looks fun. And, you know, they've got the competitive nature in themselves too. So, and like you said, when you have that and you're disciplined as a youngster, hopefully it leads over into, you know, adult life and teenage life and everything else, and you become continually successful and striving to improve yourself as you get older too. So we're very lucky, very lucky. You know, I mean, I can never have chosen this kind of life, and I feel blessed that everything's working out. And, you know, I'm glad I'm doing my best. Definitely not perfect. You know, I don't want it to seem like we're doing everything right. Cause trust me, and lots of struggles. But, you know, as long as you do the best you can, you know, and just being there, you know, that's the best thing.
But you know, there's no such thing as a perfect lifestyle, and you do try to live a perfect life, but it never works out perfectly. But the understanding is that you try, because, you know, I said the only way you can define a good person is their practice of doing good things. That doesn't mean they're good every day. They're just in the practice of doing. I mean, because you see people. Let's correlate life age right now, and you have a person that basically goes through the motions of getting ready to compete, and then there's that person that says, no matter what, I'm placing in the top five. That's a whole different mindset, and it's also a whole different look when it comes to showtime, because the practice of getting in the gym, not just going through the door, but doing something when you get through the door. Because, you know, I speak on this at church and Bible study and Sunday school. I said there's plenty of people that can sit in the pew, but there's only so many that can sing in the choir, do the deacon's board, and preach the sermon, because they're in a better practice of what they're supposed to be doing in their service to God. Now, if you go into the gym or if you go into life, if you don't have that mindset about being the best, I said, how many people do you say, I'm going to be the best Christian today? You don't aspire to hear that, you know, and then right. My uncle said it better even, and still, he said, can you imagine if our Christian diet, prep diet, matched our Christian diet with reading the Word? Would we be anorexic? You know, because these are the things we need to really consider when we talk about the things we talk, because is our life matching what we do? And if you get somebody like you, you can't deny that you put in the work. You can look and see it. Our Christian walk is the same way, whether we want to say it or not. When we go to work, we either know our job or we're going through the motions. when we're at home, either we know our family or basically we're going through the motions. Because there's plenty of people say, oh, my child wouldn't do that simply because they're guessing. But then there's the parent that really interacts with their children, and they know. And because of your life the way it is, you can actually speak on it because you do know your children, because they're interactive with you. It's like a mesh. They're fishing.
Right.
And that, think about it, a healthy lifestyle is nothing but work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're so right. That's right. It's just like you said it. And same thing in the Bible, life and doctrine. You know, all that stuff's got to line up. And if it doesn't line up, then you may think something's going on, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's what's really going on. And so it does take a lot of work. You know, sometimes I come home after, you know, working out or working this and that, and you got to give that, you want to give time to your kids. And sometimes you may not feel like it because you're tired, but you do it, you know. And same thing with the gym, same thing with church. Like everything you do, if you want to really, be as good as you can, like you said, not perfect. You know, you got to put in the time and do the best you can. So it's a juggling act.
Exactly. Well, Phil, speaking of family and speaking of time, you're an hour ahead of us, so I've held you long enough. And I think actually you have a happy Father's Day. Congratulations on the Natural Olympia win. That's a big show. And now to win the world title is even, I mean, my goodness, you must be on cloud nine. And I'm sure your wife is ready for you to start doing your fatherly duty. So I'm going to get back to it and thank God for you and thank God for her. And have a happy Father's Day, you and the family.
Thank God for you too, brother. God bless and same to you, man. I really appreciate you having me on and letting me speak. And thank you for all the congrats and everything else. So really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. And like I said, you're not supposed to have favorites, but I do.
That's good to hear, brother. Good to hear. Thank
all
you.
All right, man.
All right, you take
be
care.
Be blessed, man.
Yeah, you too.
That was Rico. He's one of the most humble men you meet. Talk to Marshall Johnson. Talk to Martin Daniels. These guys are elite, elite pro competitors, and they still find a way to be humble human beings. And I thank God for them. And this is just a touch. I mean, we haven't even got to the female side. Like Rico was saying, there's so many women that are doing the same kind of grind, the same kind of work. I can talk to you personally about Brenda Ray because she has just been so consistently diligent with taking care of her life that she can compete at that top level year after year after year. And you see her on stage, and she's a beast, and people accuse her of being on more stuff than she's ever even been able to spell her name. And it's amazing that men now are threatened by the hard work that women are doing to compete because they know they have to improve because this up-and-coming generation is not taking a back seat for anyone. So they made improvements, and suddenly they're being accused of being on enhanced things when they're the furthest thing from it. So, everybody, I hope you have a great night. I hope you have a great Father's Day weekend. For the ones that still have fathers alive, go to them, love them, hug them, kiss them, let them know you care and everything they do to become good fathers, because I know more than anything that there are men that are not fathers. There are people that claim to be of a parental descent, but they're the furthest thing from it. So the ones that have them, love them, and let them know you care. So everybody have a happy Father's Day weekend. God bless you. For Dez, for Rico, and myself, in Midwest Falso, P4P Real Talk, we are